If you are overwhelmed with what supplements or herbs to take to support your sleep, we've got your back. In this episode, we'll discuss the best herbs and supplements for sleep, some you know, and some that might surprise you. And if you've missed our other episodes on sleep, we've done three so far about why you need it, some problems and solutions, and a surprising solution for chronic insomnia.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shabnam Das Kar. I'm a functional medicine doctor and a Tiny Habits certified coach. I teach people how to improve their focus, get rid of brain fog, and reduce their risk for dementia.
And I'm Andrea Spiros. I'm a professional speaker and faculty at the Tiny Habits Academy. I work with organizations to harness the power of high-powered habits so they can increase engagement, resilience, and well-being. So in today's episode, we're talking about herbs and supplements, but some people ask, what's the difference? What is the difference between herbs and supplements for sleep?
Okay, so difference between herbs and supplements is essentially supplements by the very, the term, are things that we are supposed to get either from our food or our body is supposed to make them, or we are supposed to get them from supplements because we don't have, we don't get enough from our food or from the natural way in which our body is supposed to produce. Whereas herbs are things which are, most of the time, these are derived from natural products like plants. So it could be flowers, leaves, roots, depending on which particular herb it is. But herbs are not natural to the body, if that makes sense. It's like we don't need them in the sense of like supplements. Supplements are things we are supposed to have, and without them, there are a lot of problems that, health problems that we may have. Whereas herbs are more like, natural medicine, so to say.
Right. So our body doesn't necessarily make lavender. Lavender is an herb that we might take to encourage sleep or for other reasons. And supplements are things that our bodies make or should be making that oftentimes we may need to increase by taking a pill or a tea or something like that that has it in it to encourage that or to, like just like its name, to supplement what your body's already doing. So let's talk about a few of those. And ultimately, that definition is good to know, but once you find something that works, it doesn't necessarily matter whether it's an herb or a supplement, as long as it's a good fit for you and you're you've connected with your licensed, trusted professional, healthcare professional. So let's talk about a couple. We're going to talk about probably seven things that you can do today that will support better sleep. So the first one is melatonin. This I know so many people talk about. In many countries, it's regulated. In some countries, you can just buy it over the counter. And tell us a little bit about it and why it works.
So melatonin is a supplement. It is not an herb. And this is something that surprises a lot of people because, because it's a pill, very often people think, oh, it is it's a sleeping pill. So melatonin is not really a sleeping pill. Melatonin is something our bodies produce naturally. And how it happens is it is produced in the daytime when light falls on our eyes, and it is released into the blood at night. So it is called the sleep hormone. It's called a hormone. It's also, it has a lot of anti-inflammatory activity. So basically what happens is it's secreted by a particular part of a particular gland called the pineal gland. Now what happens is with age, and nowadays actually it's not even so much with age, it's also the exposure to ambient light that melatonin levels fall. So with age, it falls. But it also falls in if all of us are exposed to a lot of ambient light. Nowadays, we have light at offices, evening light. If you think back to our hunter-gatherer ancestors, the only light they had in the evening was the fire. So now we have these bright lights everywhere. And in fact, years ago, there was a study where they, again, this was not a study which looked at causation, but they looked at, you know, so this was a picture taken from outer space, and they looked at all the light exposure, so very bright spots all over the world, and certain places like Africa didn't have as many, you know, bright lights. And they related that to the incidence of breast cancer. Now I've gone, but then, you know, sleep is related to, poor sleep is related to so many different health challenges. And, but then I'm not saying that, you know, your poor sleep is causing your breast cancer. But
right. They were just looking at a correlation, and a correlation doesn't mean causation.
No.
But even the bigger picture of that is looking at how bright our nights are as a whole in society. And how bright our nights are often as bright as the day. And what you're saying is that melatonin, it needs that morning light, and it needs the, it will be released then later when it's dark, but keeping your environment constantly lit like daylight can affect your melatonin levels.
Yeah. So that's the natural melatonin levels in your body. So with age, it goes down. And as you and I discussed before, Andrea, particularly women in the menopausal transition go through a lot of challenges with sleep. Older people have more challenges with sleep. So it is possible that melatonin is one of the factors. Now, when it comes to melatonin, Andrea, I hear this so often. Oh, melatonin does not work for sleep. Of course, melatonin does not work for sleep for everyone. Because
right.
It may not be that you, it may be that you're not deficient in melatonin. And obviously, when it comes to, you know, deficiency or something, most of my patients will ask, so doctor, can I measure my melatonin? Yes, you can measure your melatonin, but the best measure is a saliva melatonin. And this is, I have not done that test. It's very irksome, Andrea. You have to collect your, you know, night saliva sample for melatonin without switching on the light.
Right. So melatonin is going to be one factor, and measuring it sounds like it's a little bit of a challenge. So
yeah, and
Andrea,
there's one more way to measure it. It's in urine, but that is an end product. So, and if you are already taking a melatonin supplement, the urine levels are going to show very high. So they won't tell you. So bottom line is, I don't recommend people measure melatonin because it's a supplement. So this is the practical part of it. I tell patients, just start the smallest possible dose. So ideally start with about 1.5 milligram of melatonin. Some tablets are there which are 3 milligram. You can divide it into half and see how you feel. If you find that you are feeling drowsy in the morning, you're not wide awake, then definitely melatonin is not the right solution for you. Very likely you are not deficient in melatonin. So this is the practical aspect. And I know you asked about, you know, what is the, obviously everyone wants to know, what is the dosage where I should start?
Right.
Ideally, I follow the start low and go slow, but there are many different ways of looking at it.
So if someone is taking that low dose of melatonin and they're still sleepy in the morning, you can say, can they confidently say it's not melatonin, or should they increase the dose?
So again, you know, because melatonin, like I said, is a supplement, it's not going to kill anyone. So I say that, you know, there are so many other factors which might, maybe you didn't get good quality sleep. So you're feeling, you know, not fully awake in the morning. Try it for a few days and increase the dose. If you feel drowsy in the morning, you know that that's too much melatonin as well.
And perfect.
Another benefit of melatonin, because we are going to talk about blood pressure, as we talked about the three foundations of brain health.
Right. Let's remind everybody the three foundations of brain health: optimal blood glucose level, optimal blood pressure, and low levels of chronic inflammation.
Yes. And blood pressure. So there are a few studies which showed that melatonin sustained release. So there are different types of supplements. The sustained release melatonin at 3 milligram reduced their nighttime blood pressure. And nighttime blood pressure, Andrea, is such an important marker. Most people don't think of it because it's not always easy to measure that. So way back when I first got to know of this, I decided I don't know what my nighttime blood pressure is, because at that point, this was many years ago, I didn't have the opportunity to measure my nighttime blood pressure. I said, I'm just going to try this melatonin and see how I feel. And I didn't feel drowsy in the morning. So I just decided, okay. And so it's, again, Andrea and I are not giving medical advice. So these are just different ways of looking at something.
Exactly. So how would you, how do you suggest people buy melatonin?
Andrea, that's a very loaded question. We get this all the time. So a few years ago, this was a study in, I think it was University of Guelph here. What they did is, because the supplement world is not controlled the way pharmaceuticals are, so unless the particular company which is making that supplement voluntarily decides to send their products for actually measuring how much of what is there in them, it is very difficult for you or I to know, just looking at the bottle or the pill pack, whether it really contains what it claims. So this was the melatonin study. They bought a whole bunch of melatonin, different ones from the health food store. And then they analyzed, so this was a chemical analysis, how much of melatonin was there in each capsule compared to what was, you know, written on the bottle. So some of them, they found it had like 85% less of what was claimed. Some of them had 400% more than what they claimed. Some of them had additives which were not even mentioned on the label. So,
wow.
It's like sometimes patients will tell me, you know, I'm going to send you the picture of the melatonin that I use and just tell me whether this is the right one. And I'll say, oh, I have no way of knowing. So that is one, quality. So I think, Andrea, for us to cover all seven, we need to rush.
So let's continue. So obviously they can reach out and get more information. Let's talk about magnesium. So why does magnesium work?
So magnesium is, again, a supplement, not an herb. And magnesium is involved with more than 300 to 400 different chemical reactions in the body. And magnesium works very well for anxiety and for a whole bunch of things, blood glucose management as well. And it works very well as a calming influence on the brain. So very likely magnesium is not going to make you fall asleep, but most people are deficient in magnesium because you cannot get enough from your food. So again, like melatonin, you can start off with 300 milligram at bedtime. This is not medical advice. And how you know whether that is enough for you, the blood test will not tell you. It's a special blood test, which is not done everywhere. And see how you feel. If you get diarrhea, you know that's too much of magnesium, then you back off. Or you can add another, 100 or 200 or 300 in the morning and see how you do. So magnesium, diarrhea means too much magnesium.
And that's definitely what to watch out for. So you're going to, if you're listening, you're going to test it out. You're going to know when it's too much if you have diarrhea. And there's so many magnesium types out there.
Oh, yeah.
What suggestions do you have for when someone's looking for a magnesium? What types do you have suggestions for?
One of the most popular ones is magnesium glycinate, glycinate, because glycinate is absorbed very well. And for most people, it works very well. So there is a magnesium carbonate, which is cheaper, but it doesn't get absorbed as well. Then there are some which are multiple combinations. And whenever anyone asks me this, I always tell them, try out a bunch of different ones. Some people find that a powdered magnesium works very well. And there are, some specialized magnesium creams. Now, if you're using a spray, you obviously have to check the contents of the spray, because along with magnesium, you get a whole bunch of other stuff you don't want. So if it's an oral capsule, you can start off with a magnesium glycinate. Most of them come as 100 to 120 milligram per capsule. So find out what works best for you. And best is if you work with someone who understands and knows about supplements.
Exactly.
And that may not be your doctor.
Right. So it's going to be your trusted healthcare professional of choice that works that works for you, and make sure that you do your due diligence on that. Let's talk about chamomile tea. I know this was one of the things my mom used to give us when we were kids to help us fall asleep. Is there any truth to that?
So chamomile tea, again, you know, number one, in the tiny habits world, we always say that, you know, do you see yourself using that? Now, I hate how chamomile tea tastes, so it would never work for me.
Right.
Now, when they look at studies, so what they found is when they used supplements containing, you know, 800 milligram capsules, so this was 400 milligram, two capsules a day, which is equal to 15 grams of chamomile flowers. Now, wow. no one can have that as tea, Andrea.
Right.
Even if you love chamomile.
You're not drinking that much chamomile tea.
So when they looked at studies which compared, you know, supplements with tea, obviously in a supplement form, you can get a much higher dose. And the other thing is, you know, sometimes some of the effects may be not so much to do with sleep as, you know, a relaxing feeling. You drink any tea, let us say, any non-caffeinated tea in the evening, just the thing of, you know, drinking a mindful cup of tea can make you sort of like, you know, the bookends of your day. You just pause and maybe you... So it could be those effects as well. And some of those effects are very difficult to, you know, control for in a study.
Exactly.
Like, are you going to create that where it's going to smell like chamomile tea, but it doesn't have any chamomile?
Right. And it could just be, and that this just goes to the importance of a nighttime routine too.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's the tea or the warm, soothing cup and a pause that slows you down before bed, all of those factors are important. And we address nighttime routine too in the other episodes that we've done.
So yeah, and I would put lavender in that category as well. Lavender, a lot of people find it very helpful. So when they looked at a study where people wore an eye patch, so that was basically the sleep mask that we talked about earlier.
Right.
In fact, recently a study came out where they used people use the sleep mask during summers because days are much longer.
Right.
And they found that it helped improve their brain function. So anyway, these were not people who had sleep challenges. They just used the sleep mask because of the daylight exposure. And they found it beneficial. So in some of those sleep masks, they added some of the lavender essential oils. And of course, lavender smells beautiful. So you can try that. And Andrea, back when I was going through my sleep challenges, I used to spray lavender on I don't use a pillow, on the bed. It made not a bit of difference at all. Like, right. Not.
Probably made it smell nice. And that's yeah. And that's where the reason we're giving you so many choices is because some of these things do work for people and they may or may not work for you, but they're good to try because like lavender didn't work for you, but lavender, when I was having sleep challenges, worked beautifully for me. Now, mm-hmm. Did I do an official study? No, I didn't. Was it because just lavender I find relaxing in my mind? And it reminds me of the lavender farm in Maui, which was a very relaxing scene to me. Or was it the actual lavender? I don't know. But it didn't matter because I got good sleep. Right. And
I know. It's like, find what works for you as long as it is not unsafe. You know,
that exactly. We want you to be safe and we want you. Sleep is so important that we want to give you these options so that you can get a better night's sleep. That's going to improve your brain function. That's going to improve the three foundations of brain health. That's going to help you live a happier, healthier life. So let's talk about valerian. This is another one that I've personally heard a lot, but I've never tried it. What is it and why does it work?
So again, valerian this is not a supplement. This is a herb. Sorry, I always get the pronunciation wrong.
it's both are correct, depending on where you are in the world.
I know. It's like I was used to British English in India, and then moving to North America, I realized, oh, everything's not pronounced the same way. Anyway, I'm digressing. So valerian, again, you know, it's like try it out, see what works for you. Now, most of them, again, it's the whole route, which, you know, consistently promoted sleep. Again, they looked at different studies and the dosages. So this was like a dose between 450 to 1400 milligram per day for 4 to 8 weeks, whereas valerian extracts for at, you know, 300 to 600 milligram per day for 5 days for 4 weeks resulted in inconsistent outcome. Bottom line is, you need to know what the product contains. And again, try it out. It doesn't work, you know, it like change to something else. So right.
The whole route as opposed to the extract has had more consistent results. Yeah. So if you're looking to buy, look for the whole route, not necessarily a valerian extract.
Yeah. So again, like the quality factor comes in, whether it's a good quality one, whether it really contains what it claims on the, and those are very difficult to find out because just reading the labels, you won't know. Then there are a whole bunch of combinations. Sometimes you'll find products which contain melatonin and GABA and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff together. But very important to check if you are on prescription medications. And there are lots of tools available online where you can check medication interactions.
Yeah. Right. So now what you're talking about is there's a lot of combo natural, we'll use that word in quotes,
yeah,
sleep remedies, right? That they may contain a variety of herbs and supplements. And for these, you do need, especially if you are on any other prescription medication, to look at what they might interact with and do a quick search online to find those online interaction calculators so that you can be safe when you're taking things like these.
Yeah. So the next few things we're going to talk about, you don't have to worry about interaction because this is food.
Right. So yeah. So let's talk about the last two bits, amino acids and vitamin D.
Okay, so vitamin D, again, you won't get from food only unless the food is fortified. So vitamin D, most people need a supplement. And we will do an entire episode on vitamin D, particularly for the brain.
Right.
And no one gets enough from only daylight exposure. So daylight exposure is not for you to, you know, for your vitamin D levels. It is more to do with your body's biological clock. And we'll talk about that in other episodes. But vitamin D, how much to take, you need to know your blood levels. And vitamin D has so many benefits, particularly for the brain, that it is, in my personal opinion, it's a no-brainer. Everyone needs to be on a supplement. Otherwise, you are not going to reach the levels that are ideal for you. So they help with sleep. Now, amino acids, interestingly, so amino acids are the building blocks of protein. And we have talked about, you know, increasing your protein intake. So numerous studies have found that higher protein intake, particularly in the last meal of the day, or taking amino acid supplements have improved, you know, sleep. And of course, along with that, a whole lot of other things, because proteins do a bunch of stuff. They build your muscles and, you know, your... and most people do not get enough protein from only food. It's really hard. So, Andrea, if you have calculated how much protein you need and how much you're actually taking, I really struggle. But eating a higher protein meal as the last meal of the day, and definitely we talked about, you know, you don't eat 3 to 4 hours before bedtime, ideally.
Right, right.
That can be beneficial at so many levels other than your sleep.
Right. And that can be an easy way to test out if your sleep gets better with that. And again, while we're talking about protein, it doesn't necessarily have to be animal protein. So if you are not eating animal protein, that's fine. You just want to make sure that you get a more substantial serving of protein for your last meal of the day, 3 to 4 hours before you go to bed, and then watch how your sleep is. So a lot of this is going to come down to you noticing your sleep quality and the sleep quantity. You know, do you wake up refreshed? Do you feel like you have more sustained energy throughout the day? Because this is so unique and tailored to an individual. While we may be very similar in many ways, we are also very unique. So you'll need to pay attention to you. Final thoughts on herbs and supplements.
So Andrea, you know, I get a lot of requests for sort of curbside consults. It's usually on messaging or WhatsApp or something like that. So someone I know, she sent a message. I have sleep problems and she's about my age. And so I said, I can just give you an off the cuff comment and say that this particular age, if you have chronic insomnia, then you need to look at CBTI. She said, no. I'm trying chamomile tea. And what I really wanted to tell her, Andrea, was when it doesn't work, you can come back to me.
Right. And sometimes that's the case. So we did a whole episode on chronic insomnia. And if that's you, these things are likely a nice step, but you will need a cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia or CBTI to move the needle on that. So there's hope for you, and these things aren't going to hurt. But if you have chronic insomnia, you definitely want to look at and listen to the episode on that we did on that. So yeah, with that,
need to become a sleep warrior. So whatever your sleep challenges, you need to figure out. This is like, I don't usually say need to figure out and compulsory and all that, but sleep, prioritizing sleep is, I think, one of the best things you could do for yourself.
I think you are right on that. And I think there's so many ripple effects from prioritizing your sleep and getting a good night's sleep. And we've given you 4 episodes with a lot of ways, entry points for you. So you can pick the easiest entry point for you and give it a try. We can put some tiny habit recipes for sleep in the show notes. Thank you for listening. Please like, rate, and subscribe. If you know anyone that could benefit from this episode or any of the other episodes, please also share. You can find all the podcasts at drkarmd.com/podcast. That's drkarmd.com/podcast. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.